John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live at 710sports.com. On demand everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app. Now, John Clayton.
The NFL draft is next week, so don't miss out on any of 710's draft covers by signing up for the exclusive NFL draft text alert. Just text draft to 710-710 to receive updates from our draft lounge throughout all 3 days. In addition, you'll get a text after every Seahawk move to keep you up to date. Round by round, text draft to 710-710, and don't forget to tune in to the draft lounge at 710sports.com. And joining us right now on the Venue Kings hotline is Shannon Dreyer. And so roster move today, Mike Zanino is back, and a little bit of a surprise, who went down?
Yeah, Mike Margimo was sent down. I don't think that was as much of a surprise as it would have been, say, 2 weeks ago. I think you started to see David Freitas start to catch a little bit more, and I think the writing was on the wall a little bit there. They like Mike Margimo. They like his offense. They like his versatility. But Freitas just kind of has a little bit more, even though he hasn't played in the big leagues very much, has a ton of catching experience and a ton of minor league experience and a little bit, just a little bit more of a presence, I think, behind the plate. And I think when you're talking about the backup catcher, you're looking for somebody who first and foremost can handle the pitching. And I think they like what they saw from Freitas.
How important is it to get the return of Mike Zanino?
I think it's huge on two fronts. I think obviously adding him to the lineup lengthens that lineup, and this is what they were building for. They wanted to have a lineup where you really didn't give a pitcher a break at all. And I also think it helps get Mike Zanino back with, I think you're seeing Nelson Cruz still kind of slowed and struggling a little bit with the ankle. So that gives you a little bit more possibility of pop a little bit deeper in the lineup. But I think the biggest thing about getting Mike Zanino back is just having him behind the plate. I'm really curious to see. We've seen some up and down pitching performances. I'm really curious to see what his presence back there does, because he knows these guys. He's worked with them for a long time. I think Felix in particular, he's got a really good rapport with him and is able to kind of get him to do some things that he wants him to do in game. And I think that has been helpful when Felix has been successful. So I'll be very interested to see what we see from the pitching as, on a whole, and that includes the bullpen, getting him back there.
What do you look back at the Astros series? Because I guess in some ways we find out really how good the Astros are.
Well, I don't think, you know, it wasn't really a wake-up call to see how good they are, although I think it was alarming somewhat to see how much better they are in the pitching. And they were good last year, but when you go out and you add Gerrit Cole and all of a sudden he has a resurgence, he starts throwing that breaking ball a little bit more and it works for him, that is a fearsome rotation. I mean, it was lucky on their part that they didn't face Justin Verlander, but they really didn't get any breaks on who they did have to face. So, I mean, that is tough, knowing that they are there and you are going to have to continue to face them. And the only way to beat that kind of pitcher is, A, to play clean baseball, and, B, to have your starters keep you in the game. And we saw the blueprint for that in Game 1 against Dallas Keuchel, and James Paxton was able to go out there, do his job. They didn't make any errors. They were able to manufacture a run. They were able to get another run with a little bit of pop, and that's all they needed. But, you know, there is no room to kind of even blink when you were going up against those other guys, and they did. And I think the encouraging thing that you look at when you look at that series is that your starting pitching, for the most part, did hang in there. And last year you couldn't say that. You know, with all the injuries to the starting pitching staff, you had too many Chase DeYoungs, too many Andrew Morris, too many Sam Gavilio starting ball games for you against that club. And, you know, that's a very tough thing to do when you are right up from AAA. But I think Mike Leake went into that game with a game plan, saw how it worked. I think he takes that into his next one. Paxton has been dominant against the Astros for the past year and a half. Apparently he still is. That was good to see. And they took a different approach to him. He was able to adapt. That worked out nicely for him. I think even Ariel Miranda kind of hung in there as well. And then, you know, Marco Gonzalez, to get his first exposure to them, to have a good outing. Yes, it was short, but he did get 8 strikeouts. That's a confidence builder. So you look to build off those pitching performances. You got to find a way to manufacture some runs. I don't care how good the guy is on the other side. One run usually isn't going to do it. They're going to have to come up with ways to score runs. But, you know, as bleak as it is to see a 1-3 against them, I don't see a situation that we saw last year. I think they can move forward from this.
Yeah, but and because I guess the biggest thing is that you can see, all right, fine, you were able to do this. You know where now you what you need to improve against the Astros, and it's a matter, okay, you know, a little bit cleaner, a little bit better hitting, obviously, and then, you know, it's a matter still of getting through that fifth to the seventh inning if your starting pitcher, you know, is not going to go into that seventh. I mean, it's kind of ironic. I mean, you know, here's Mike Leake. I mean, he probably had his best outing, and then all of a sudden, boom, things went south in the seventh.
Yeah, bullpen's been a little bit shaky. You know, you look at Edwin Diaz, who you can't ask for any more from your closer, but getting the ball to him. We've seen two rocky outings in a row from Dan Altavilla. He needs to get back on track, and what we saw from him was kind of what we saw last year, and he lost his command a little bit. So, you know, let's hope that he can reel that in. He worked in some things on the offseason to get it back in his delivery quicker when he does get off track. And, you know, hopefully they've got two additional pitching coaches down there right now. They're able to kind of work with him and get him back quicker than they were last year, because he's going to be so important to this bullpen with David Phelps out. And you've seen glimpses. You know what he can be when he is on his game. You need him to be able to come in and shut down, be it, you know, a flyer in the sixth inning or hand the ball over to Eddie after the eighth inning. You need him for that. But, yeah, the bullpen – these were games that I think that they were pretty much out of because they weren't generating offensively, and they did make some mistakes. But I think you have to be a little bit concerned in what you did see from the performance of the bullpen this week.
No question. So now it's a matter of the Texas series. You know, thoughts on this one, because now they go into kind of a hitter's type of park and a Texas Ranger team that in some ways is just rebuilding.
Yeah, the Rangers have been struggling. And you look at this series, you look at the series in Chicago, and as tough as Houston was, well, here's your opportunity to go out and get some wins, because you're going to go face two clubs that are kind of in that, I don't even think Texas is in that rebuilding mark point yet. I think they're kind of in that limbo point. I think as long as Adrian Beltre is on that team, they're never going to, you know, kind of dive into a full rebuild. Chicago, on the other hand, is in that mode. With Texas, kind of the interesting thing with them is you look at what they've done. They're not scoring many runs, and they're giving up a lot, which is never a good formula. But over the last week, their bullpen has given up only one earned run. So you're going to want to get to these starters early. I think they have a good opportunity to do that with Minor on the hill today. He's somebody who's got you know, one of the best ground ball rates in baseball. You're not going to hit many out against him, but you want to see the offense bounce back after a rough few days and see what we saw prior to the Houston series. Bartolo Colon, not sure what we're going to see. You know, he had a perfecto going for a while in his last outing, and you know, the Angels wonder out there finds ways to win games. So, you know, that could be a tough one, but a fun matchup to watch with James Paxton on the other side if that game gets played. We've got nothing but rain in the forecast tomorrow. And then, you know, on Sunday, you want to get that one. It's the return of Erasmo Ramirez. You're going up against Martin Perez, who the Mariners have hit relatively well through the years anyway, but he is having a horrific start to his season. So, you know, they've got a chance to kind of get healthy with the bats, I think, over these next 3 days, and possibly in Chicago, too.
Okay. And so I got to ask you this personally. You didn't play basketball early in the season with any of the guys, did you?
You know what? I was invited, and I thought it might not be the best idea for me to get out on. Actually, the truth was I didn't have the appropriate shoes for it, because okay, it was a long trip and I couldn't pack them. But yes, it was very smart on my part not
very
to
much.
Go out there. And you know, professional athletes usually do have written into their contract they cannot play basketball because it is kind of a dangerous sport. And apparently they're going to need to write that into the broadcaster contracts as well.
That's amazing to think both Rick Riz and two broadcasters injured on the same basketball game. It's safe to be away, and, of course, it's good to see that you're safe. Shannon Dreher, enjoy the game tonight.
And really quick, just want to say, yeah, I heard from Dave Sims the surgery went well for him, so we're wishing him the best on his recovery, and Rick is going in this afternoon. And, Rick, if you're out there and listening, get back soon, buddy. We miss you.
I think everybody does, and they're going to be great when they all come back, and it's always great to talk to you, Shannon Dreher. Thanks for joining us on the Venue Kings Hotline. You can check out the show on the 710
John.
Sports app, driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. Coming up next, we will go and get our grade books out. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Hey, this is Bob Stelton from the Bob Gross and Tom Show. I want to thank you for listening to the John Clayton Show. And you know what would be great is if you checked out the Bob Gross and Tom Show every day from noon to 3. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On demand with the 710 Seattle Sports app. It's time for the Report Card with the Professor.
And, of course, the Report Card is something we do every day. And what we do is try to grade the good, the bad, the ugly, the smart, the stupid, all the entities that go on in sports. Just attach a grade to it because there's a lot of weird stuff that goes on. And, of course, we try to keep you up to date on that. And so, Maura, what do we have?
Well, first off, speaking of weird, can you believe that Rick Riz and Dave Sims injured themselves in the same pickup basketball game?
No, not at all. I'm just stunned. I mean, isn't that remarkable? I mean, when I heard about that yesterday, I said, are you kidding me? That's amazing. I mean, it's sad because, again, these are such great people and they're so valuable to be listened to and they're such great entities. And then to have both in the same basketball game.
I know. I'm glad to hear from Shannon. Dave Sims' surgery went well, and we were, you know, starting to have him on as a regular guest to talk Mariners. So hopefully, we'll be able to talk to him soon now that he's recuperating.
Well,
but
hopefully,
Rick Riz gets his surgery done and everything goes smoothly as well.
Yes, no question about that.
Well, first up, Professor, have you been watching any of the 76ers Heat series?
No, I have not.
You seen Joel Embiid's face mask?
I have not seen that one. I mean, I don't know. I guess I've been more focused on the West Coast. Oh, no, the two series I've been watching more is going to be, you know, Cleveland and, you know, Golden State. And I don't know. I'm just a big believer in Golden State. I know right now maybe the odds of them beating Houston aren't good, but I mean the way they've dominated and getting the three games over the San Antonio and really not being challenged. And I've been, you know, really into just seeing the struggles of the Cavaliers, but I haven't been able to get as much into the Philly series, which I probably need to do.
It has been pretty good, but much has been made out of Joel Embiid's face mask he's wearing because he has a fractured orbital bone. Mm-hmm. I think he said that he looked a little bit like Phantom of the Opera, so people were calling him Phantom of the Process, and some people were comparing him to Avengers characters, whether he looks like a villain or a superhero. It's a pretty crazy mask, but him and Justice Winslow have been going at it pretty crazy, and when the mask came off last night, Justice Winslow got a little chippy with things.
Steps on it clearly. Don't tell me that was by accident. Look at the little twist of the ankle right here. He knew exactly what he was doing. As if Joel Embiid didn't have any backup mask.
So the mask went flying off Embiid's face, and Winslow tried to casually make it look like he didn't see it there, but stepped on it, then picked it up, and it looks like he's putting some pressure on it, like he might be trying to snap it, and then he finally hands it over.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid said, though, that he's not too worried about it.
Justice stepped on it and tried to break it with his hands, man, but little do that knows that I have about 50 of them, so it's going to take much more than that to get me out of this series, and I'm going to be a nightmare for them, too.
I like that. That's great. I mean, first off, you know, the idea of trying to step on it, I mean, he gets a D. I mean, that's just terrible. I give the, again, what's fun, and that's what I guess I'm missing right now because, you know, when, you know, I do all my studying of the teams and all that before the season and that, I'm always trying to see, okay, so how are those lottery teams doing and building things back up? And apparently the process is working. I mean, what, they win the last 12 games or 16 games of the regular season, 12 or 16 games of the regular season. You know, they get off to a little bit of a slow start. Now they have the lead in the series. And I think that, you know, I have to give him an A for, you know, basically having this all covered. You have the ugly mask, you have all that stuff, and you have 50 of them. So I guess, you know, the great part is this will last him till Halloween.
Yeah, and he finished with 23 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks last night. So the mask is not slowing him down.
No, not at all. Gotta like that.
Yes. Next up, we have from the Mariners game yesterday. They had a triple play, John. It was only the 12th in Mariners history, but it was a very strange one.
Gonzalez from the belt and the 1-0 pitch to Gattis. Swing and a ground ball to Seager at third. He's got it. Sips on third for one. Down to second for the second out for the double play. I thought maybe with Gattis running. Gattis is off first base. He doesn't know. There's only two outs. Cano with a toss over to Vogelbeck. And there's a triple play. I believe that's a triple play. Gattis forgot how many outs there were. He was safe at first base. There was no throw by Robbie. And then Gattis came walking in to the middle of the infield. He thought there were three outs. Robbie over to Vogelbach, then with a tag on Gattis. It's a continuous play, and I think that's a triple play.
You gotta love that. That's great. First off, we're gonna miss, at least on this road trip, you know, the sounds of Rick Riz. I mean, that's one thing that we're kind of saddened about, because again, having that bicep surgery and all that today, you know, he's not able to make this trip. But you know, I think you have to give the whole thing an A, because it's so unusual to see one like that. Obviously, the base running mistake and not knowing how many outs are there, you know, that gets you a D minus.
Gattis gets an
He gets a D minus or an F for basically screwing everything up. But just from the positive standpoint of being able to have a play like that, even though, again, the game was out of touch. I mean, it was 9-2 or the final score and all that stuff. But good grades. Got to give good grades to the Mariners.
Yeah, well, it was still close at this point. It was Seager who noticed, so he gets an A.
Yes.
And then I heard Marco Gonzalez talking after the game, and he said that the fact that Gattis was so confused made him question how many outs there were. So I think it kind of got everyone a little confused. It's a good thing that Seager was paying attention and kind of got everyone else on the same page.
Indeed.
All right, last up here today, Professor. I thought this was pretty amusing. Kanye West has been tweeting up a storm lately, getting ready for the release of his new line. He tweeted a new pair of his sneaker line, Yeezys, and Pete Carroll saw them and posted back, "I got some Air Monarchs for you that'll put those to shame."
I like it. I mean, you got to love it back and forth with that. And I don't know, have you seen the Yeezys or all that?
Are the ones bad? That Pete Carroll responded to don't look that far off from Air Monarchs. Okay. I don't get them. I don't think they're very attractive.
Okay, so but. I guess with them, from that standpoint, I guess we have to give Kanye a C and Pete Carroll a B for being able to at least, you know, offer something that might be a little bit of a better product, I guess, or at least something that's going to look a little bit better. So I think that, you know, Pete, with his ability to, you know, follow social media, have fun in social media, and keep up to date on that, you know, I wasn't reading a book while he was making that tweet, so I think I'll give him a good grade with a B.
You know, the players kind of tease him a little bit about his shoes. Professor, how do you grade Pete Carroll's sneaker game?
I mean, that's probably because it's, you know, it's solid white, so that's it's in, you know, they're very distinctive and all that stuff. I mean, I give him a B minus. I mean, maybe it's not the best, but it's still not bad. I mean, hey, you know, the one thing is you want to have your own personality and how you dress and all that stuff. Of course, you know, me being a bad example of that, not dressing all that well because of the convenience of being in the house all the time. So, you know, I kind of give him a B minus.
All right. Well, I mean, you've always got your Slayer shirt. Everyone loves
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the ponytail, of course.
No doubt. Got to keep all that stuff. And, of course, it's going to be, you know, good to see the interesting series this week with the Texas Rangers. And, of course, now you got to schedule out all those different things. But I think more than anything else, probably there's some questions that need to be asked as we head into this weekend. You know, whether it is on the Mariners, whether it's going to be on, you know, what's happening with the you know, the NFL teams around the league as they get their schedule, and of course the NBA, which is going good, and of course in hockey, which of course is building a market right now. You can text us at 710-710, and you can also check out the show in the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. Coming up next, we take your text questions. 710-710. It's John Clayton.
You're listening to the Professor John Clayton,
live from the Alaska Airlines Studios,
streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Okay, we want to give you a little reminder right here. This is, of course, on the Seahawks schedule giveaway, because a lot of people are starting to text in as opposed to go on the website. So now that the schedule is out, do you want first dibs on tickets to the 2018 Seahawks season? So you have giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to any regular season home game of your choice. Plus, you get two VIP tickets to the Seahawks exclusive draft party next week in Bellevue. You can head to 710sports.com/win. That's 710sports.com/win. Win and enter the code word kickoff, and you have until the end of the show today at 12 to be entered to win. The contest and rules are on the 710sports.com/win. You must be over 21 or over of age, and don't forget you can visit Seahawks.com/tickets for the 2018 schedule. Tickets are on sale now, and of course what we're also on sale now for is your text questions. So text us at 710-710.
All right, first up, The 253 says, all we've really heard about is the Hawks trading Thomas to the Cowboys. Are there any other teams that you think might be in the running for the trade? For trade market with him right
now? Yeah, I really don't. And I think it's one team and one team only. Maybe there's a way outside chance that it could be a team like the Cleveland Browns, but I still don't see it. You know, they made a move for Demarius Randle, and they have him penciled in at the safety position. You know, and obviously they got the first pick in the second round, which might be intriguing. But no, I think that it's pretty much Dallas or nothing. And right now, you know, with what John Snyder was saying last night, you know, maybe closer to nothing, but we'll see.
All right, the 253 says, hi, John. Are there any new rumors about the running back spot in Seattle? Any chance they sign Murray?
Right now, no. I mean, the fact that they've gone so long and not really even attempted to sign him, I think, gives a pretty good idea that they're not interested in the age of DeMarco Murray. You know, they haven't made any move on C.J. Anderson yet either. So, at this stage, I mean, they go into the draft open. I mean, again, they can still come out of the draft and do something. But C.J. Anderson's there. DeMarco Murray's there. I mean, pretty good options, but they got to be at the right price. And right now, it's not a price that they're willing to go. It seems like they like the four running backs that they have. And they still want to maybe add to it, maybe more with the draft than anything else.
253 says, hi, John. Happy Friday. What are the chances the Hawks win their first two games on the road in Denver and Chicago?
I mean, there's a chance. I mean, because, again, you're catching, two new quarterbacks, I guess you can say, because Case Keenum may be older, but he's new to the team. It means that he just signed there. It's going to be their opening game. And, of course, you know, now he's got to try to read what the Seahawks can do, and he's not going to have as much tape on, some of the things that would be there before. That could be an advantage. And I think there's a distinct advantage with the Chicago Bears because, they don't have much of an offense at the moment. Because they don't have much at wide receiver. We'll see if they get Allen Robinson, healthy enough to be able to play coming off the ACL. They lose Cameron Meredith, but, they still have a young quarterback in Mitch Trubisky who probably is not going to score a lot of points.
206 wants to know your favorite college football atmosphere.
I love Nebraska. I mean, because the fans are so good there. I mean, that's always great. I mean, certainly when you start to go into some of the SEC schools, I mean, that's just phenomenal because, again, they're just so into it. So whether it's Alabama, whether it's going to be LSU. I mean, I think LSU has to be one of the better venues and definite things to watch. They're just fantastic.
509 says, Mr. Clayton, could you please explain compensatory picks and how and when they're allotted?
Compensatory picks are given the next year after you get through with unrestricted free agency. Unrestricted free agency is there till now, between now and May the 8th. All right, so what you have to do is you have to take the net losses. If you have more losses than gains, you can get a compensatory pick for each loss. So like you can get a maximum of four, but they have to qualify. So example, it's not just the loss of a body, but if that body gets a minimum salary, it does not qualify. That's why Seattle, they've signed, I think it's plus three as far as more than they've lost, and so they don't get the fourth round picks for Jimmy Graham, for Paul Richardson, and Sheldon Richardson. But basically, if you have a net loss, you can get a compensatory pick.
509 says, hi, John, love the show. What's the possibility of Brandon Marshall becoming a Seahawk? Thanks.
I'd love it just because he'd be a Pittsburgh guy coming here from East Liberty, PA, but I don't think very good. I think that he still has talent. But I think that they want to stay a little bit younger, so I'd say right now, no.
509 wants to know if you think Dez will go to Carolina.
No, not at all. Because one of the things that they're trying to clean up in Carolina, I can guarantee this, is that they want to try to get more speed, and they want to try to get more separation at the wide receiver position, and that's why the Dallas Cowboys released Dez Bryant. He's not able to separate as well from receivers, and even though he's still a talent, it's basically going back to what they are trying to chase away and trying to improve on. So, no, I don't see him going there.
425 wants to know, why can't we have Ariel Miranda as a long relief pitcher that way we have him in the dugout in case of emergency?
Because I think that's probably, they have one extra pitcher to carry, and right now they've got five outfielders. I mean, that option might be there if indeed at some point in the next 2-3 weeks they release Ichiro, and I think you can see there's building momentum right now for the possibility of Ichiro being released. Not that everybody wants it, but I think you can see it happening because you can't carry five outfielders forever. I think they'll do it for another week or two, but no, I think that's maybe down the line, but I think right now they want to try to have the eight pitchers available that they can use.
425 says, can the Seahawks come out and surprise everyone like the Rams did? New coaches, new schemes.
Of course they can surprise everybody. And, of course, that's going to be one of the things that's going to be interesting at the beginning of the season with the five games out of the first seven on the road. And, of course, you know, not everybody knowing exactly what this team has. So, yeah, I think there is a possibility of that. So just kind of stay tuned.
509 wants to know if you were able to get everything together for date night tonight. If so, have fun.
It looks like it's going to probably be one more night. I mean, I just got the van yesterday, but what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to, you know, make sure that I'm good at getting my wife on the wheelchair in and out of the van, and so I have to take maybe one stop if I do it tonight, but I'm being very cautious, so I think it's going to be more next week or the week after.
Getting closer, though.
Getting closer, yeah, but the big thing is she's home.
Yes. The 206 wants to know, how big of an impact can Zunino have on the pitching?
A lot. I mean, particularly, I think that where he can really help is, you know, the relief pitchers in, you know, innings like, you know, 6, 7, and 8. I think he can help them out. He's very good working with the start. I mean, he's you know, because he's such a great guy as far as, you know, getting the pitches that are there, getting into the heads of the pitchers, and also setting up the strike zone, which he's fantastic at doing.
The 253 wants to know, any news on Cliff or Cam?
Just probably more negative than it is positive. I still think that both, you know, may not be able to play this year. I would imagine at some point by June they'll release Cliff Averill. They'll keep Cam on the roster, probably saying that, you know, as on the PUP list because of the injury. Because again, his salary is guaranteed, and so he'll stick around. He'll be around, but again, he won't be, I don't think, able to play. But I know that even yesterday, I think people saw Pete and was asking, and he didn't have any progress reports officially.
509 wants to know, based on the schedule release, which playoff team from last year will miss the playoffs this season?
Now give me till Monday to study that, because I've got to try to, you know, break things down a little bit more. I was able to break some things down last night, but not as much as I want, so stay tuned for that.
253 wants to know what you think the Seahawks' biggest need is heading into the draft.
I think their biggest need is probably defensive end. And again, obviously, they'd like to add a running back. You know, they'd like to, you know, maybe add a tight end. I mean, there's a lot of things they need, but the one thing that I think that they need more depth at is at the defensive end position. Clearly, cornerback and a good cornerback draft. But I think that, you know, if you're going to get the defensive end, you need to get them higher than lower, because it's not a good defensive end draft.
All right. Since you are a Pittsburgh guy, the 360 wants to know what you think of the Steelers' schedule for next season.
I mean, you know, it's very favorable, because again, you look at this team and you can see that you know, they rank in the top two. I mean, New England and Pittsburgh, it's been that way for the last couple of years, and you know, they've got the seasoned offensive line. You know, they anticipate being very good on offense, and you know, they'll be solid on defense. I mean, I think that they come out of it pretty well, looking good.
The 206 wants to know if you think that John Schneider has gotten full value for the free agents that he's had to trade.
No, but then talk about the other 25 trades in the National Football League. You're not necessarily going to get the full value. I mean, again, Michael Bennett basically went for the terms of the Matt Tobin trade, and so that was one where, you know, they didn't get that value for a Pro Bowl-type player, but I think that they definitely wanted to move on, and they got enough value in a fifth round that they can do some things with that. But, you know, I think that, you know, the trades have been solid. I mean, all trades, but again, that's the problem with trades right now. You're not getting the maximum value because, I mean, things are moving so fast.
All right. Last, the 253 wants to know what trade rumors you were hearing about for round one of the draft.
I mean, again, Indianapolis now, after the one trade down from 3 to 6, they want to trade down again. That puts maybe that Buffalo move from 12 to 6 very possible. I think the one that was kind of intriguing was the thought that maybe Cleveland would jump from 4 to 2 to get Saquon Barkley. But again, I know Dave Gettleman's not a trade down type of guy, so probably that's not going to happen. I know that there's still some thoughts that maybe Arizona will move up a little bit. And of course, I mean, we've had 25 trades so far, so stay tuned. It's wild and woolly out there, and so I would expect there's even to be more coming up here in the next week. Believe it or not, we're less than a week away from the NFL draft.
All right, let's squeeze one more in, because this one's kind of funny. Yeah. The 206 wants to know, would you go to the Watershed Country Music Festival for $100,000?
No.
Yes,
that's a country music festival? No.
For $100,000?
No.
You can do it.
No, I can't.
I fully believe you can do it.
No, because, I mean, I'd be too sick to cash the check, because I'd be listening to country music. So it's like, I mean, you know, that twanging would be, I mean, I'd be going through the drive-thru, hearing that twang, and I'd probably just run right through the drive-thru. So it's like to cash the check. So for $100,000, I think I'll pass on the country music festival. But you know what you can do. You can check out the show on the 710 Sports app. It's driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. Coming up next, it's Dave Grosby.
John Clayton.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On demand with the 710 Seattle Sports app.
And joining us right now is Dave Grosby. And so, Dave, what plans do you have for this? Oh, I'm sorry. We have Bob Stelton. We don't have Dave Grosby. There's a surprise. What happened? How are you?
Stunning. He's not here.
I know. I
can't. Grosby. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I thought, John.
So let's look back at the Astros series, and what do you think everybody learned?
I don't want to look back, John. I don't want to look back.
I can understand that.
It was the most poorly played game of the series of the season yesterday. Yesterday was a big disappointment to me. I was out there. It was slop. It was ineffectiveness. Marco Gonzalez got off to a great start, and then the wheels kind of came off, doesn't even last five innings, and just some of the miscues in the field, I was like, what is going on here? Listen, I can handle, my team getting shut down by great pitching, and the Astros have some of the best, maybe the best rotation in baseball. So it's hard to get too upset over that, but, man, seeing the slop in the field defensively was just really disappointing. So I think it's good they're heading out on the road.
Yeah, no doubt. And so now it's a matter of just trying to, bounce back. I mean, what was a nice winning streak against winnable teams, now all of a sudden you kind of get schooled and you realize where you are, and hitting wasn't there. I mean, pitching was reasonably solid. But again, the way these games go in baseball right now, it's like the fifth, sixth, and seventh innings now are determining so much, because that's where pitchers start to wear down and that's where the hitters start to come back.
Yeah, bullpens are hugely important anyway, but you're seeing the importance of them even more early where guys aren't going as long. You've got Gonzalez goes 4 2/3, and then everybody that came in had a rough time. I mean, Altavilla gives up a run, has two walks. Epchinski gives up a run. LeBlanc comes up, gives four runs. I mean, it's just your bullpen wasn't good. Gonzalez got off to a great start. I guess they were fearful of what was to come. He ends up giving up three runs, strikes out eight. But only 79 pitches in that. So, if your pitching staff's going to be limited in that way, your offense is going to have to come through. Unfortunately, you couldn't really do anything against Morton, who struck out eight and didn't give up a run, only gave up three hits in seven innings. So the Astros have dominant pitching. And as much as that lineup had been struggling a bit coming into this series, nobody expects them to continue to struggle, and they started to break out a bit.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's now it's a matter of just trying to, regroup and all that, not get too far down. And by the way, you didn't play basketball on the road with any of the Mariner broadcasters, did you?
No, I didn't. I came out unscathed. I'm fine as compared to what happened to everybody there. That's ridiculous.
But isn't that a weird story?
Yeah, I actually went up and sat in the booth a bit yesterday with Riz. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Mm-hmm. And he was very proud of the fact that he continued to play through the game.
Yeah.
He says, hey, I kept playing.
Well, and seeing his toughness, I mean, how he had to go battle yesterday one of the doctors that wouldn't just let him go on the trip. I said, well, let's postpone this for this road trip. And he's like, no, we postponed it enough.
Yeah, and I said, Rick, it's probably time to get into something that's non-contact. And he goes, no, you can't stop living. You can't. So he'll be back. He'll be playing. He's a gamer. But, yeah, I mean, that game was hurtful.
Taking
out two of their broadcasters.
That's amazing. I mean, again, we know this franchise has such things with injuries, but, man, this is incredible.
It's a good thing you and I weren't there, John.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't going to do anything. It's like those days are past. I'm not going to go out there and risk my body and, do all that stuff.
You don't trust your jump shot anymore?
No. Okay. Not at all. No, all right. I never did, but it's like it was a little bit scary to be able to do that. I know, getting back on what's going on here, I guess, Todd Lewicki laid another positive here, and he says it's almost inevitable that NBA basketball is coming to town.
Yeah, I mean, don't we kind of feel like that? The only thing I'm unclear on is the time frame.
Yeah,
there's no I think everybody is very clear on the timetable for the NHL. The NBA, I don't know that he painted any clearer picture, but I think everybody was pretty certain once you got this deal in place with the particulars with the Lewickis and the people that have some relationships with the NBA that the NBA would be back here. I don't think anybody doubted that or debated that. It's just a matter of, all right, is it 3 years? Is it 5 years? How long is it going to take? So I feel like I'm on an island. I love the NBA. I love it. And I will be there front and center when they come back to town. And I know I'm, you know, compared to a lot of the people that text in, I hate him, I hate him. I think a lot of those minds will change once there's an actual team here.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's going to be so positive to be able to see all this stuff. And, you know, it's such a great time right now that, I mean, the anticipation, I mean, the success of Vegas and what they've been able to do in their sweep in the first round in hockey, basically having the same rules available. So at least you know there's going to be a competitive good team that's going to be out there, which is so rare for expansion.
Yeah. Usually you're going to be the punching bag for every team in the league for a couple of years until you can get those draft picks in place and you're picking high in the draft and you develop these guys and then you become competitive. But yeah, I mean, the Golden Knights have set a different standard and raised the bar. So it gives everybody here a lot of hope that you can come out of the gates and have a competitive product out there. I don't know if that seems a little unrealistic to expect that to happen again, the way it's going there in Vegas, but shows you it's possible.
It really does, and it sure makes for some really, really good stuff. Now, last night, the schedule came out.
You love this, right?
I love it. Oh, yeah.
This is a holiday for you.
Well, no, in fact, I mean, at ESPN, it's always been, once the schedule comes out, it's considered to be a national holiday. I mean, that was one of the lines that's always been used, and I don't think it's ever changed. So.
What is it you love about the – because we knew who they were playing. There was no secret as to the teams.
I mean, it's the nuances. Okay, so, you know, because then, you know, the first thing, I take my little, checklist of irritations, and, of course, to see, you know, where you look at each team and see. I start with the irritations because,
okay,
again, I figured with all the computer programs that now can be used, you know, some of these things just need to vanish. And unfortunately, some have not. I mean, you still have the three-game road trip, which is just brutal for any team. You know, Atlanta comes off a Super Bowl. They got a three-game road trip. Hey, congratulations and, you know, blowing a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. We're going to put you on the road for 3 weeks. You know, the idea that in this day and age when you have football-exclusive stadiums that you have to open on the road twice. Now, again, some of that's with the Mariners, but again, I mean, isn't there a way to be able to, you know, get that so you can at least have one home, one away?
You'd think, but, mm-hmm, you know, I don't know. I kind of like how it's backloaded. I like that once they find their feet, if you will, you figure this is a team that's going to have to take a couple of weeks to figure out who each other are. They're going to be a lot of new faces, you know, especially in the secondary of the defense, depending on what happens with Earl, but you get a few weeks, it's going to be on the road, that could be tough, and then you by the end of the season, when you feel like you've hit your rhythm, where everybody's used to playing with each other, they're familiar with the new coaches, all that, you got a long stretch at home. And I think it sets up really well for this team.
No question. And, of course, I think the one thing that was really intriguing, and, of course, shows it that the networks believe in this team. The fact that they gave five prime time games, including four at home, you know, they believe that this team can do some positive things.
Hey, by the way, I was going to save this question for 2 o'clock, but give me your thoughts on what John Schneider said about Earl Thomas being told by his reps that he's not going to hold out. Does that change your opinion on whether he stays or goes?
It lowers it, but I still think it's, you know, 33-34% as opposed to the 50 I had last week. Because, again, I think, you know, Mike Salk has taken the extreme on this because he thinks that's more negotiating strategy by saying, oh, no, he's not going to hold out, trying to get word to Dallas like, hey, well, if you trade for him, he's going to be there for the regular season. You know, that was more Mike. And, of course, you can see that if there is a trade to Dallas, that Earl Thomas is going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Because that's a team, because they're playing at Texas that he wants to be with. Again, not maybe over the Seahawks, but they would get a little bit of a break. So I don't think that they needed to use that type of strategy. But, you know, at least you know if it's true. Again, it's like if a representative tells you that he's not going to hold out into the regular season, you have to believe him. But what if he still holds out into the regular season? But I think that starts to calm things down a little bit as far as where it goes from the contract. Because now you can look and justify, it's like, okay, if he misses camp, mm-hmm, then you develop Delano Hill. So we'll see. But we can talk more about that later on at 2 o'clock today.
All right.
And by the way, what do we have on Bob Graz and Tom?
Well, we're going to talk to John Clayton at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
And we'll definitely be talking about the schedule. We'll talk about what's going on with John Schneider's comments about Earl, what that means. We're hoping to catch up with Nelson Cruz at some point today, hopefully. So we'll see if that happens. So, yeah, we've got a bit of everything here, John.
Well, it's going to be great. And I'll talk to you at 2, and that's Bob Graz and Tom from 12 until 3. I'll be back tomorrow at 9 to 12, and, of course, back at 10 o'clock on Monday. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.